If you have your Bibles, and I'm going to keep saying this, if you don't have one, please get yourself a Bible. For it's the only thing that's going to keep you on solid ground. It's going to help you defeat the enemy every time he attacks. But it has to be by the word of God. Ezekiel 37, which you have already heard in your reading. And I will read verses 3 through 10. And there you will find these words. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I mean, you know, when God moves, he makes a lot of noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. 10th and final verse, which I will pull my topic. So I prophesied as commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. From these passages of scripture, I just want to talk for a brief moment on the thought. It's time for the church to come alive.
I say right here would be a good time to give God a little praise. I need somebody to think about that moment in your life where you should have lost your mind. But God's grace. You should have died in your mess, but by the grace of God, that wreck should have took you out, but God's grace rose up in the midst of your situation and turned that thing around. If anybody know that you've been blessed by the grace of God, give him a praise in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. God's grace. If it weren't for the grace of God, wouldn't none of us be here right now? You should have had a fit up in here about that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Think about what he done for you. I'm not talking about that little thing. But the thing that should have took you out, but you're still here because God's grace turned it around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and praise him. Don't nobody know like you know what the Lord has done for you. Hey, yeah. Praise him. God, we thank you. That's the grace of God right there. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Y'all don't tell me he didn't feel that. He felt that thing, y'all. Woo-wee. I feel all right now. Think about the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. You didn't deserve to get what God gave you. You didn't deserve what he did for you. But by the grace of God, here we are. Lord, I thank you. Most holy and all wise, everlasting God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this time, space, and opportunity. Oh, God, I need you now. Take total control of me. Oh, God, take me out of self and move me out of your way. Oh, God, give me in your well of wisdom that I might come up speaking a word from on high. Lord, let me decrease that you might increase. Hide me behind the old cross, that they would see all of you and none of me. Oh God, I thank you in advance for what's about to take place in this house. And God, when it's all said and done, I dare not take the credit. But God, I will give you all the glory, all of the honor that is due unto you. Now God, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Now that's the kind of praise that we need to bring into the house of God. God turned y'all loose. Because this is exactly what he's talking about this morning. So here we are on this blessed Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Following our revival, and I can't speak for you, but my soul has been really blessed this week by the revivalist of the week, Bishop Greg Hargrave, who preached his heart out all week long. Messages sent by God for this church. And now we as a church must apply the messages that he spoke to us to our lives as the body of Christ, so that we might enhance the ministry in this house. For he told us on Monday night, I've lived long enough to know. You know what you're doing. You know when you're supposed to do it and when you don't supposed to do it. He came back on Tuesday. Said, I'm in the same position, but my posture has changed. Don't be church hopping because you get upset in the church house. Don't change churches. Change your posture. Somebody say amen. Well, I feel this thing already, y'all. Wednesday night, he come back and said, if it ain't broke, break it.
some of these traditions that we are stuck on are going to have to be broke for the church to elevate into the church that God is looking for in these last and evil days. Some things got to break, y'all. Attitudes. The way you conduct yourself in the house of God. You out of order. Break that habit. Ooh-wee. Last night he said, embrace your kingdom assignment. Everybody in this house got an assignment. But the problem is nobody is embracing their gifts. How is the church going to be elevated with the same old people doing the same thing? The faithful few. Y'all about to kill the faithful few. It's time to step up and stop stepping out. Boy, I feel good, y'all. And in saying that, what we, the saints of God, must realize and understand is this. Revival simply means what it says. Revive. It's an improvement, a recovery, upturn, upswing, or resurgence. For in other words, you should be better now. For after a revival, there should be a rekindling of your spirit that takes place down on the inside. Lord, have mercy. That should set you on fire for the Lord. Just because of who he is, because of his grace, and because of what he's done. For he is the Son of the living God, the very one who died that we might live. That's enough to praise him for every moment you have in your life. But it amazes me at how the people of God can come into the church house with these dead, dry bone spirits. After all that God has done for us. For we have become so comfortable with ourselves, with our faith walk, that we have forgotten how to give God real worship. And I didn't come here this morning to throw stones at anybody or to point their finger, but God has told me specifically to let the people of God know that he is tired and he is not pleased with these dead, dry bone spirits that are coming into the church house, sitting around motionless. Motionless. Ain't doing nothing. Everybody got a different kind of prayer, but you ought to be able to do something to show God that you are grateful. But we're acting like the people were when the Lord set Ezekiel down in the midst of the valley, which I will get to in just a moment. Which is why my main focus today is to let you know it's time for the church to come back to life. Tell the person beside you, got to live again. For there is too much riding on the condition of the church house. Supposedly the place where people go when they are broken, when they are confused and find themselves needing answers. The church should be a place of salvation and deliverance. Are y'all going to help me this morning? A place where broken hearts can be mended, a place of refuge and hope. A place where people can come in and instantly feel the presence of the Almighty God. Because of the praise and worship that is taking place in the house. But he is the problem. But yet when someone comes into the church house seeking these very things, They can't seem to find me because too many churches are operating in dryness. Say dryness. And I am here to tell you that God is not pleased. And it is time to stop playing church. And start focusing on the word of God. That we might become the church that he is looking for in these last and evil days. For the church is losing its fire at a rapid pace. And if we are not careful, the flame is going to burn completely out. And the church will die. And I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about the church that takes place in us. And I don't know about you, but I have never seen a building that can lift up holy hands of praise. I have never seen a building shout the dance of victory. I have never heard a building cry out, Lord, I thank you for saving me and turning my life around. For that would be impossible for the church building to do, but not for you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's why we are called the church. We are the church. Tell somebody, you are the church. I say, you are the church. That's why I boldly stand before you today, declaring that the church is in desperate need of a rebirth. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. For there are some changes that must take place in the church house. Why? I'll tell you why. Because too many of God's people are coming to his house with the wrong agenda. The wrong motives. The wrong focus. And definitely the wrong attitude. For we are the body of Christ, who is the church, can't even get along with one another. Here it is. We lift up holy hands, and in the same motion, we are rolling our eyes at somebody in the church house. God is not pleased. For we are using God's house for a pickup place. Instead of a place where we come to worship and praise him. And because of all of the foolishness and all of the jealousy that's going on in the church and everything else that is going on, God is not pleased. For with all of these gifts connected, we would be a better church. But glory to God, there's still hope. For the church are going to have to do some things that must take place for the church to become the church that God is looking for. For the church cannot live without constant fasting and praying. The church cannot live without constant studying of the word of God. And the church definitely cannot live without the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Can I talk about this thing for just a minute? Love. For we have got to love one another as God has loved us. You don't have to like me, but according to the word of God, you got to love me. Joy. For there must be joy down on the inside. You be the bigger person in certain situations and hold your peace. Long suffering. For best know this. For on occasional suffering it will only make the church inside of you get stronger. Kindness and goodness. For we must treat one another as we would have them to treat us. Easier said than done. Got too many church folk laying down their religion for just a moment to tell somebody off, to get out of character, to do whatever is not lining up with the word of God. That's why the church is suffering. Faithfulness. Always keep the faith. And know that God is in control. I don't care what you're dealing with. Know that God is still in control. And he knows just what the church in you needs. Are y'all going to hear me? Gentleness. Show a softer side from time to time. And humble yourself. You ain't got to stick your chest out all the time. There's nobody bigger than God. That means you too. That means me. God is the ruler of all things. And last but not least, self-control. Don't say or do everything that you may be thinking. Let me give you a little advice right here. But try your very best to always do it God's way. For how many of you know that God's way is the best way? But glory to God, I still got good news. All is not lost. Because all we need is the Lord to breathe on us, that we might live again. Just like he breathed on the dry bones here in our text. Say, breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me, Lord. For when the Lord breathes on you, a change has to take place. For there is power in the breathing. I said there is power in the breathing. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Which brings me to my text. For the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel speaking. And carry me out in the spirit of the Lord. Say spirit. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. And the Lord caused Ezekiel to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley. Ain't nothing like a church full of folk sitting still, not moving, not talking, not saying anything, not clapping again God's praise. I know you're not dead because I'm looking at you. Have you ever been in the midst of dryness? And verse 3 says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live again? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. For God already knows that there is a lively church inside of you that needs to come out. Stop sitting down on your gifts. Believe it or not, you are gifted in a way that will always bless somebody else. But the blessing can't take place until you release your gift, that you might be a blessing to somebody else. Verse 4 says, and the Bible says that the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy on these bones. I'm not prophesying, but I'm telling you about your dry bones. And say unto them, oh, I'm beginning to feel this thing, y'all. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you. You know, from the very beginning, God breathed the breath of life into man. He became a living soul. So if you're living, act like you're alive. Are y'all still helping me? And I will lay sinews upon you. Sinew meaning bone to bone. Member to member. Saint to saint. A connection gonna have to take place, church. For how many of you realize the fact that in order for the church to come alive and stay alive is going to require that we connect with one another. Getting on one accord. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon flesh and cover you with skin and put breath in you, you, the church. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Too many of us walking around like we don't know the Lord. We know the Lord. But sometimes we lay what we know about the Lord aside just to do what we want to do. And it's hindering the elevation of the church. I'm talking better than y'all responding. And the Bible says that Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. And as he prophesied, scripture tells us that there was a noise. Y'all know we pay attention when we hear something out of order. What was that? Did you hear that? And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Tell somebody something's about to happen. And verse 8 says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and his skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. No breath, no life. Say, breathe on us, Lord. Verse 9 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the winds. O breathe, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. In other words, nothing or no one should be left dead. Which brings me to my final verse. Verse 10. For verse 10 is the anointed apex of this text. Verse 10 lets us know that there is still hope for the church in us. For verse 10 is where the dry bones come back to life. For the Bible says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. Somebody say live. And stood up upon their feet in an exceeding army. And as I bring this message to a close, I just stop by to tell somebody that it's time for the church to come alive. And God, we need you to breathe on us. For in the midst of your breathing, things are going to start changing. Saints will begin to catch on fire for the Lord. And the church in us will come alive again. So, God, we need you to breathe, 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 breathe on us. No more dry bone spirits. Somebody say, no more dry bone spirits. Breathe on the pastor. Breathe on the ministers. Breathe on the deacons. Breathe on the choir members. Breathe on the musicians. Breathe on the ushers. Breathe, Lord.
on our youths. Breathe, breathe, breathe. I said, Lord, we need you to breathe. Breathe on us. Because when the breathing is all over, the church will be on fire for the Lord. Somebody say yeah. Say yes. Yeah, yeah. No more dry bone spirits. I say no more dry bone spirits. I say no more dry bone spirits. For I need somebody who feels alive right now to rise on your feet. I'm not talking to the dry bone people, but I'm talking to somebody who's full of life. I say, rise on your feet and start releasing your praise. Praise him. Praise him. I said, come on and praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Yeah. 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 I really need to take my seat, church, but I feel alive right now because every time I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I got to give him praise, praising him for who he is, praising him for what he's done, praising him for turning my dry bones into a life of spirit. Somebody in the house was dry at one time in your life, but the Lord, I say the Lord, showed up in the midst of your situation and said, dry bones, ye shall live again. If you call on the name of Jesus, he will show up and cause you to catch on fire for the Lord. Do you believe it? I say, do you believe it? Then release your praise right now. No more dry bone spirits. I say no more dry bone spirits. The church got to come to life in order for we can be used by the Lord. Willing vessels that can cause those in the street to come in and see the goodness of the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. Too many of us are coming into the house of God. Even on those days when we're not playing church and we really are releasing our gifts. But the problem with that is that when we leave this place, we don't share the gift or the good news with somebody else. God didn't save us just to save us. He didn't take me off of drugs just to say I'm better than somebody who's still on drugs. He took me off drugs to show somebody that it ain't over. Use your gift. Don't worry about what people say about it. Don't worry about if they don't even receive it. If God tells you that's your gift, use it. You ain't gonna be able to please man no how. You can't please people, no matter how hard you try. I wasted a whole lot of years of my life trying to please somebody else. Well, if I do that, they gonna talk about me. They still talking about me. And God is still good.